You are listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on hoopfeed.com.
Hi, everybody. This is David Siegel welcoming you to this week's Dishin' and Swishin' podcast on hoopfeed.com. And, you know, women's college basketball this year has several teams that are certainly worthy of keeping an eye on over the long haul and seeing what shakes out over the course of difficult out-of-conference and conference schedules. And one of those programs that I always love to talk to is one of my favorite coaches out there is Matthew Mitchell from the Kentucky Wildcats, who joins us today. Coach, welcome back to the podcast. How are you?
I'm doing great, David. It's always good to be with you, man.
Well, Coach, let's start right with the Battle of the Bluegrass. And this is 2 years in a row that they were, you know, tooth and nail, hard-fought games. Walls has a great program there at Louisville, and this is the second straight year that you took them down.
Yeah, it was a really tough game. Louisville is such a good team, and Jeff's done such a great job with that program, like you said. And they really took it to us early in the game, played with a lot more energy, a lot more effort, and we were fortunate to be able to in the course of the game, change our energy and our effort and find a way to battle back from a 14-point deficit and get a very important win. So we were excited and didn't like the way that we started, but certainly were happy with the way the game ended.
You know, hey, Coach, is Calipari talking to you about this, you know, what is this senior thing that you got going on this year? You know, I thought that seniors weren't allowed to play basketball at Kentucky.
Yeah, he and I do talk about that. He is an amazing guy, and I would not trade places with him to have to play all those freshmen all the time, but he does a great job with it, and I think he is a bit envious of us for having our players for 4 years and they can really become over the course of that time period. So we're very excited about our senior class. They have done a great job. I think they give us a real chance to have a special season.
Well, you certainly do have a great group in this year's senior class, and let's talk about that for a second. And you know, and it begins right with the two posts that you have, and that's Denisha Stallworth, who, you know, SEC Player of the Week, you know, leading the team in scoring, and then there's Samari Walker, who is also playing great ball and leading the team in rebounding.
Yeah, Denisha is a real talented player. It's amazing. She got SEC Player of the Week, and she really only played two halves in the two games, and so it really talks to you about her talent level. We need a lot more consistency from her, and I think when we get that, we have one of the truly, really, really, truly good post players in the country, but we definitely need more consistency from her from a performance level. And then Samari has just really gotten the most out of her game this season, off to a great start, has been a factor on the boards in every game. And so those two players, when they're playing at their top level, I think give us a chance to have a really, really productive post unit.
You know, is Denisha one of those that when a game is important, she gets almost a little too hyped up? It seems like she comes out and she tends to, you know, get herself in a little bit of foul trouble and make a couple of silly mistakes in those really big games right at the beginning.
I think that for her, mental preparation and doing it properly is very important, and I think some of the mistakes that you're talking about are mental mistakes. So we just continue to work with her. One thing that I do know about her, she wants to win, and she cares a lot about her teammates, and we just need to continue to improve with her and improve her thought processes and her preparation. And I was really, really proud of her for bouncing back from a terrible, terrible first half and being able to come out and really impact the game against U of L.
You know, and then the second leading scorer on this year's group is good to see my Connecticut girl there, Castine Evans, really has stepped up. I mean, she's hitting 50% of her shots from the floor and 50% from three. Second leading scorer on the team. She seems to have really developed a lot of consistency in that shot and confidence in it this year.
Well, you know, she is just really epitomizes what we would like for a Kentucky basketball player to be. She is a very, very high character young woman. She's a principle-based young woman. She really cares about preparation. she's willing to make a sacrifice for her team and just do anything. She's played virtually every position for us during her 4 years. And to now see her really develop into a top-level shooting guard, and there are just not many people in the country that are playing better than her right now. And she does so many things that impact winning for us. It's really, really been a pleasure to watch her develop since her freshman year. So we're real proud of Castine Evans, and she's done a lot for the University of Kentucky.
You know, and, you know, we could spend the whole time going through the team. I mean, Goss and Thompson have been playing great. You know, you've got the two freshmen that, you know, Calipari's happy about or are making an impact in Harper and Epps. So, you know, it really has been a total team effort thus far.
Yeah, it's hard to single out one person. We've had several different people lead us in scoring. We've had contributions from literally everybody on the team that's healthy. And so we are excited about that depth and excited about the kind of team we can become. And we just try every single day to prepare well and to make sure that the players understand this great opportunity they have. And we'll just keep trying to get better each day because, you know, there's a long way to go in this season. And I really feel like if this team can really just become so committed to excellent practice, I think we'll end up being one of the better teams in the country.
So the NCAA looked at Kentucky in this offseason and said, you know, all right, we're going to put in this points of emphasis fouling stuff so that they can't play as physical, but then at the other hand, we'll give them the 10 second count so that they can press it, and we'll help them that way. So after eight games, how are you liking these changes in the rules? Now, I had Insel on a couple weeks ago, and he was the first one that stepped right up and said, I thought it was great the way we had everything before.
Yeah. Well, I've really enjoyed the challenge that we had, David, to make sure that we are a fundamentally sound basketball team. And one thing that we've always stressed here and that's been very important for us is to play with great defensive technique and defensive fundamentals. And so it to me has been a great challenge. I think our team's done a fantastic job. I think we have really, really been able to adjust well. I think the process is not complete. I think there's still a ways for us to go. But I'm really encouraged about what I see. And listen, the numbers are what they are. Scoring is up. People have said that they wanted to see more scoring. Scoring's up around the country. We are seeing some benefits from it. And I really like, for us, I think it helps a team like Kentucky, who is so fast-paced and aggressive. I think it really helps us offensively to have some freedom of movement where people can't beat us up and we can get the ball up and down the court. So I think it's off to a great start. I think it'll just continue to get better and make the game better.
Well, you guys are averaging about 95 points a game. So, you know, there's no question that you guys are still being able to put points on the board. And, you know, your defense is holding the opponents to around 62 points per game. So you're definitely doing the things that, you know, we've come to expect from Kentucky basketball. But, you know, one thing that I wanted to talk to you about is, you know, so many programs in this day and age take the easy way out, in my opinion, and, you know, don't go on the road and play mid-majors that have any kind of quality. You know, they use the excuse of playing local rivalries only and then throwing in whoever else they can. You know, you've gone out, you went to Marist and Wagner this year. You know, Central Michigan is another quality mid-major program that you brought in to play, and it played you there. You know, you went to Middle Tennessee, and already, of course, you've had the bluegrass battle with Louisville. That's one hell of a schedule to start the season. And that's something that, you know, you look around at some of the others, not to mention any program names, but you're facing one of them Friday night. They really need to look at what your schedule is and see how it's helped prepare you.
Well, I think for us, to really take a step to being one of the best programs in the country, and our goal is to be the best, is you have to play a quality schedule. I think you have to play a national schedule. I think you have to put your players in difficult situations so you can see what they're made of. And then also there's another responsibility that I think at a place like Kentucky that has become very popular is to also try to grow the game. And so when I hear people like Brian Jorgis say that they can't get anybody to come to Marist, he's somebody that I have a tremendous amount of respect for. And that game was great for women's college basketball. It was a sold-out arena, enthusiastic crowd. You know, we have that all the time at home, so we shouldn't be the only people that have that. And I think us going on the road, it meant a lot to Marist. Great atmosphere at Middle Tennessee. And both of those teams, not only is it good for the game, but it's good for our team because you're forced to prepare and do well. So I think our schedule's good. We're going to try to explore tough matchups. You know, we'll go on the road to Central Michigan next year, and that's going to be a very difficult game. But I think it's an important game for Central Michigan. They're very excited about us coming up there. And, you know, having top-level games against top-level programs mixed in there, like the U of L game and the Duke game coming up and going on the road to play DePaul. I mean, it's a challenging schedule, and I think it does nothing but help our basketball team, and it also helps women's college basketball.
Now, let's talk for a sec about this Friday night and Baylor. Odyssey Sims, one of the best guards in the country, preseason All-American. No Brittany Griner. They're adjusting to that, but still a bunch of talent on that team.
Very talented team. A very hard-nosed team. Really take on the personality of their coach. Just tough and tenacious and aggressive. And we will have to be very, very sharp and prepared to go in and win the game. You know, it's an exciting event for us to be able to play a doubleheader with our men's program, and we're real appreciative of John Calipari for putting this together. And, you know, I think it's going to be great for our team to get to play in this kind of venue, also against a very, very aggressive basketball team.
There's no question that this type of event, in my opinion, helps, you know, grow interest in the women's teams as well. Now, granted, you are dealing here with a situation where they're both Baylor and Kentucky get great fan support for their women's programs as well. But, you know, what do you think of all these promotions that some of these places have done? You guys sell tickets pretty well normally. I mean, I love the free beer that Walls did at Louisville. I got a kick out of the bacon at the state. And then Colorado, you know, gave preferential treatment if you bought tickets for the men's game. You also had to get for the women's. You know, what do you think of these ideas that some of these other programs are trying?
Well, I think across the country, we are, as a women's basketball coaches community, I think that's something that we are really talking about and trying to find ways to increase attendance. And, you know, my view of it, David, is that it has to start, and it always will be, in my opinion, grassroots at its very nature. And so I think each coach has a real responsibility in their respective community to build a relationship between their program and the community. And there's a variety of ways that you can do that. But I think really it instead of single game promotions, which anything that a school can do to try to help their women's basketball attendance, I appreciate. But I really think that you've got to view it as building a great relationship between the community and your team, and that will motivate people to come out game in and game out. So what we've been able to do at Kentucky is over the years to take a real solid fan base and then try to really connect our program with the community of Lexington and Central Kentucky and then the entire Commonwealth. We had people after the Louisville game. I was talking to fans after the game, and we had people driving in from 2 hours away just for the game. So, you know, I think that that's the most important part of marketing women's college basketball is making sure in your community you have a great, great relationship. And that's something that I think you really need to be thinking about daily. And that's something we've certainly tried to do here at Kentucky.
Well, Coach, you know, what about at the halftime of the men's game, you know, you break out some of those dance moves from Big Blue Madness?
David, that's only one time a year now, so I would be breaking my code there of only – I can only embarrass myself – I embarrass myself often, but only through dancing for 90 seconds a year. That's it. That's my limit. I can only be embarrassed for a minute and a half at Big Blue Madness every year, so I will not be doing that. I will never dance at a – well, I shouldn't say never. You never say never, but I don't have any plans to dance at a men's game at halftime. I think the Big Blue Nation gets enough of me at Big Blue Madness.
And you're not going to coach with that wig, are you?
Well, I might. If it could distract the opponent in any way and I could get any advantage, then I might coach in the wig. The wig's a quality thing.
I got an idea here now. Now, if Jason Kidd could spill the soda, you know, and Mike Tomlin can jump on the white line there, you know, during gameplay, can you throw the wig on the court?
It's possible. It's possible. But then I would probably thought of, like, if people are thinking of those guys. So I'm going to avoid throwing the wig on the court. If I bring the wig out, it will stay on my head.
You know, you could just say that, you know, you were just beside yourself ripping your hair out on your team, and it just happened to fall out on the court.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Coach, lastly, let's briefly talk about the SEC, though. We would be remiss if we didn't mention the conference, how strong it is. Tennessee is, again, a top five team, and you know, there's no shortage of other teams that are top 25 teams this year.
Yeah, good conference always is, always has been. I think it always will be. It is night in and night out. You're going to play against the best players in the country, top to bottom. It is a very, very talented league, and so we have great respect for the Southeastern Conference. I just think it's so special to be in a position to win a championship. They're very difficult to come by. They're very hard to win. You know, Tennessee and Georgia for so many years, and then LSU had a really good run. But so there just haven't been a ton of teams that have been able to win championships in this league. And to be one of those, and we did it in 2012, we want to do it desperately this year. I love competing in the SEC, and it's something that I think's one of the special parts about playing at Kentucky is the league we get to play in.
Now, you hosting the first two rounds this year, which is always a good thing. Now, the last 2 years, you've run into Connecticut in the Elite Eight. What are your thoughts on this arrangement this year for the regionals being set up on the home courts of Louisville, Stanford, Nebraska, and Notre Dame? I mean, that's something that, you know, programs like yours and Connecticut, Duke, all are going to be facing this extra challenge.
Yeah, I don't give a lot of thought to it, David. I just we try to stay so focused on our team, and so I don't know that I have a good answer for it. It's way above my pay scale to decide where we're playing games in the NCAA tournament. I was so appreciative of the people here at Kentucky working hard and putting out an attractive bid. And, you know, we've gone to three of the last four Elite Eights without the benefit of playing at home any of those times. And so we've always had to go on the road those first two rounds. And when you look back on it, it's like Kentucky's been to three Elite Eights in 4 years, like it's no big deal. Just the time that we were in Louisville, that was the most comfortable because it was close to home. But out in Ames, Iowa, and we had to beat Wisconsin Green Bay in the round of 32 to get to the Sweet 16, and we won by 1 point. And last year we had to beat a Dayton team because we had stomach flu because we were all in close quarters there at a hotel. And, it, you know, it's just these things are very difficult to do to advance just to a Sweet 16. And so I'm so excited that we're at home for the first two rounds if we're fortunate enough to continue to play well and to make the tournament. We'll be at home. I think it's a big advantage for our team. And so then beyond that, you know, I don't care where you're playing, Sweet 16, Elite Eight, it's been my experience. Those are tough games to win no matter where you are. And so if you're playing a team on their home court, it's just the way that the NCAA worked it out. We are just trying to work hard every day to make sure we're in that position to have that challenge to face. So I don't give a lot of thought to it, and I just really my focus is on trying to see if we can get Kentucky to be the best that we can. And I think if we can really maximize this team's potential, I think we can play with anybody in the country. So we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But I'm really happy we're playing the first two in Lexington.
But I will bet that you wouldn't mind not seeing Connecticut in the Elite Eight again this year.
Well, I don't know that would be a false statement by you. I probably would probably agree with that after the results we've had the last two times. So, but listen, the thing about it is you got to try to get your team to play their very best. And to do that, I don't think you can worry about other teams or other programs. You've got to put all of your focus in. So, listen, if you told me right now we could advance to the Elite Eight, I would take that, and we would see what we could do no matter who the opponent is, because it's hard to get to the Elite Eight. But we will just keep plugging each and every day, and we do believe at some point in time at Kentucky we're going to punch through to a Final Four and going to win a national championship, and that's the goal, and that's what drives us every single day.
Well, I think you're definitely on that way, Coach, and I think that that's going to be something that will be happening in the not-too-distant future. The way that this program has climbed and risen to the top is something that, you know, people talk about, you know, that it's not good that Connecticut wins and it's not good about Tennessee, but you know what? My answer has always been everybody else needs to step up and rise to the challenge that they're putting out there, and you are the poster child for what I use, because you've taken a program that was, you know, mired in that second tier and done what you have to do to get it to the top. And it's something that really should be a role model for other schools.
Well, I think that I appreciate you saying that. I think that Connecticut and Tennessee have been great for women's college basketball because they have really shown what excellence means. And Coach Summitt was so excellent for so many years. And Coach Ariema is so excellent and has really set a standard of excellence there. And for me, those are motivating situations, and those are programs that I don't know why anybody would say anything bad about them, because they it's not like they didn't earn the position that they're in. So our job here at Kentucky and our focus is to create an environment where a young woman can come here and she can become her best. And so the way that we measure it on the basketball court is you know, competitive success and you know, being one of the top teams, but it's also much more than that. It's also when their value as a basketball player is over with, that this experience meant something to them, and it's more valuable than just playing some basketball games. So I really admire any organization that has had a high level of success and has really set a standard for excellence, and we're certainly trying to do that here at Kentucky.
Well, Coach, you know, congratulations on the great start. Good luck, you know, the rest of this calendar year. You know, before you even hit New Year's, you've got Baylor and Duke already on the docket. It's going to be a tough 2013 and a tough 2014, but, you know, you definitely have it going in the right direction, Coach. Congratulations.
Well, thanks so much. We have some good players. Hopefully the coach won't screw it all up, David. But I appreciate you always having me on your program, and appreciate what you do for women's college basketball.
Coach, you can't screw it up. You got one of my favorite assistant coaches now on your staff. I mean, Jeff House has always been one of my favorite guys.
There you go. Well, we're in good shape with that then.
Plus, of course, Shalon and the rest.
There you go.
Take care, Coach. Have a very happy holiday season, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, David.